Feel your heart to us, what's that world? May we ask the is it working?
You know, first of all,
we're in Matthew 4. We talked last week.
In Matthew 4, that's basically the conclusion of Jesus. It's also part of the calling of the 7 disciples. But I think it's really important to spend a little bit more time here today. We're going to be heading into the Sermon on the Mount. And I don't think that we can understand the Sermon on the Mount. So I think as a result, I mean, with a, I kind of grew up and I did the New Testament of the church. And it's all about God's love, God's love. God's love. And God's love. 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 Let me down to you. That escape. And Jesus goes into the attitude. I grew up with I would say very Christian. Very few people, even if they're trying to get close to the message, because they were so caught up in the huge constant established thinking of setting up his kingship in Jerusalem, being living as long as he can. Come up with, when you try to set dates and times and prophecies down, they certainly he said, but he did come to heaven. He did come to heaven. There's a period of time to coexist. He's done. He said, you will obey me, sir. That's how he did it to me. They believed that Jesus thought that the Jesus would come, the Messiah would come, and he would establish it for all their enemies and their enemies. And they come to a government having a reason after that they will. Pretty much looking for a benefactor. So that we better align with our education, especially when we bless them, when we help our economy, and we let us prosper. They also understood, they also thought very much about the baseline thought that we were going to be doing our best. There's a lot of the Old Testament that have been around town. There's some problems where Christianity is you don't go through a process of discipleship. The fun of the piece of Jesus starting the Old Testament. That you try to jump in front of the New Testament. All of a sudden you're like, oh, God, grace. God ever looks at myself. So why do I do it? You say, oh, but I'm supposed to pray this prayer. So, cool. That you don't really see the rest of the people that they do, you come up with the concept of God's grace and say things like, there's nothing I can do and it's not my works. Don't get me wrong. Faith is very, very good, using a lot of truth. It's really easy, right? That's what he does often, makes a tremendous amount of truth. The supply of the Israelites, they do come out. Yeah, absolutely. You think in the garden? What happened in the garden? People think that, Adam, the first time, he caused all mankind to fall. And again, here we are in Matthew, what we talked about, he's second man. And I'm sure when Jesus went from Satan, he's probably there, certainly his demons were there. The river of the Lord, and he baptized him, he came up out of the water, and heaven opened. And God said, there's a mountain of water, certainly audibly. And then God said, this is my son, and I said, you. I'm not sure how well he knows the time to take the time. Jesus said, not purpose is patient, but good enough. But I am making talks out in the early stages of the gospel when it talks about Jesus going about my own truth. My speculation, Jesus thought, my speculation, that his parents understandably wanted to move patient. He said, you have no responsibility of aiding the community. I mean, that's where the beginning of school is. That was where the new temple was. That's where the center of the worship was. That's where the Holy of Holies was. That's where God said he would rule from. Why didn't they want the king to be familiar with what he takes in their room? And their beloved, I'm sure, was very much the same as everything else. The king is going to be the king. We understand that that kingdom is a spiritual realm. It is not very strong. If you read the Old Testament, you need to understand that God's economy, God's setting up his worship of the Old Testament is full of an example of the fulfillment that happens. Jesus says real clearly, and we'll read it,
not think in Matthew chapter 5, when speaking to some unmarried, do not think that I came to abolish the law of God. Okay? I didn't come to do religion. I did not come to abolish the law of God. And truly I say to you, from heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or stroke shall pass away from the law until it is all accomplished. That's a very whoever then annuls one of the least of these commandments, so teaches others, and he calls these the kingdom of heaven. But whoever teaches them is the kingdom of heaven. I will say to you that unless your righteousness teaching of the law surpasses that of his righteousness, that is not my name. Let's be very clear about that. This is not talking about righteousness. I'm not talking about righteousness from having really Jesus. But let me also say very clearly, you cannot honor God. The issue here is what God says, what God expresses in his heart. It's very important for us to understand how God views that and who he is. And the reason that it's so important is that if you don't understand God's economy, the true gospel, you would be very vulnerable to Satan's power. You would be very vulnerable to Satan's power. Satan used good things that he would use to, in fact, would have said, this is not. Everything in this, from Adam, from Eve, from Adam's first sin, everything has been dependent on the Spirit. And on the perfect sacrificial lamb, shedding the blood of our sin. Everything. Sin has Adam to this far sin. If Jesus had sin, he would be deserving of that judgment. His death would have been rejected. And it would not have paid. There is no way for that to pay for our sin. Right? There's no way for him to the propitiation, the particular sacrifice that Jesus paid through the our place, paid what we do. The wrath, God's wrath, judgment on our sin and our indictment is placed on you. Satan is being behaved in the very best, such as Adam and the garden. It's simple to do. He's just being killed through the sacrifice of man. And he's in trouble. And he needs to stop him somehow. You need to understand that Satan's still about that business. About that business. So there's a couple things that I'd like to look at today. One of them is who is this? Who is this? Who is Satan? Because I think it's important for us to understand our identity. The other one is to dispel we all there's a statement, and I don't know where it comes from, but I think it's inverse. Listen to it. See, the devil. Now, I would like to all support that. Because we have two things going on. We have an enemy. We have Satan, who is in direct opposition to everything that we have. He's in the process being used here. We also have God holding us to the truth. So, how does that word itself out? baseline here is that God holds us individually accountable for us. We are responsible. We cannot say, I'm a victim. Fate made me do it. The world made me do it. I had a bad family. I had bad encounters. I was this. I was depressed. I was. And God says very clearly, makes it very clear, you need to stand before God and say, I suck. I chose I myself have made a choice to be rebellious to God. I myself have chosen to not honor Him. Romans real clear. On basically how all men are without excuse. Let's see Paul in Romans a minute. In verse 16 of chapter 1 of Romans, Paul is making an argument that we all need to have, we should have men. This is something that can be very, because we live in a society, it's not a problem. We appeal. And let me just tell you, it's an explanation to work. Process of trying to minister to some kid and family that the kid has never been held accountable for their dying. The kid has very little hope of the right word God. So if you do, that is what does it mean? That a man pulled out of their own responsibility and have really that means that we stand before God and call upon. No matter what happens, no matter how the devil has pounded on us, has did it, we have to, all of us have to stand before God and say, I am deserving of the wrath. I am deserving of the judgment. I am deserving of death. All of us have to do that. We have to stand there and say, it doesn't matter. I can't blame somebody else. It's not the devil made me do it. I have to stand accountable before God. That I am a sinner, that I am rebellious, that I am sick, and faith the sin. It's a difficult thing for us to understand, because we are such a rebellious. We do not understand the faith. We do not understand absolute faith. We do not understand the living in us. So it becomes very, very difficult for us to understand. If I sit your faith only needs to, oh, it's okay, I understand. I love Jesus. We have this false interpretation of us. Oh, it's okay. I'll overlook that. You don't understand. God is God. Not as God is God. He's God. He's only one thing. That's the reality of God. That's the same thing as faith. What does faith do? Faith says, I want to be honest with God. I think that I deserve that. I think that I deserve glory. I think that I deserve the rule. The root of sin. We look at all the appendages and all the ramifications of that. We look at that. That's the immorality. Drunkenness. Whatever. And we look at the outward manifestation. The problem is self. The problem is that I choose not to regard God as God. That's the problem. Let me read this what he says. For I am not ashamed of the gospel. That's true God. For it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes in the Jesus is also to the for it is the righteousness in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith as it is written that the righteousness of his own faith. The wrath of God, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven in Christ against all ungodliness and unrighteousness. He suppressed the truth of unrighteousness. He said, this is God's truth, he's waiting. God's truth, inspiring all things of God. Because that which is known about God is evident within him. Because God has made it evident. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, the eternal power and the divine nature have been clearly seen. Being understood through what he has made so that they are without excuse.
God said,
amen. Because what they have seen of God, what they have known of God, can you depart without the word of Jesus on God? There's eternal power in God's nature to what he can. I believe that God is far more powerful. It's an amazing thing, the eternal power that is about to be amazing thing. More we learn in science, and in our rebellion, it's not the half right way to do it. Unbelievable. More millions. Right? Because it's unbelievable. Because it's eternal power. And it's the divine nature of God. It's not finite. And the more we see what he does, the more we can see. I also think that one of the great is the divine nature is clearly revealed. Obviously, oftentimes it is not so. But it's clearly revealed in the institution of the Father. Now, all of this outlaws, tragically, a lot of us, probably who failed our children on, we've all failed our children on some level. Some of us have left more of a dim view than others because of the failure of fathers about God. But the concept of the Father is critical in a child's distinction. Somebody to go through God's mind. God consistently and continuously regards and calls himself the Father. Because I am God's Father. And I believe that there is a necessity of all people, and depending on the level of perverse understanding of the Father, there's a necessity of coming to the point where I understand what a Father truly starts to realize when God is able to do. And I can trust him. You grow up with an interest in the Father, that's God. You have an interest in the Father, that's God. You grow up with a perverse Father, that's God. If you grow up with this engaged Father, you believe God. That's the way God intended to be. That the Father is supposed to represent character and nature to his children. And they should be able to trust that. Okay. They should be able to surrender and submit into that. When they come to a point of accountability, when they come to a point of their relationship with through the God, transfer is, I can trust that. If you don't have that, you're in trouble. And there's a tremendous reorientation you can do for your relationship with God. You move on. You have to, and all of us on some level, have to move because God is the perfect Father, and He is the human Father and not. So in all situations, the difference is reorientation and move on. You know, when Jesus said, unless you become his children, and all my life I've heard that intended. In the end of it, you mean he's all kinds of bad. Well, this is a business business, I don't know, and I can't do this, so I my relationship with God. You think I did try, and I just got to get my strength, and I think I did try. That is not what he's saying. Okay. That is not what he's saying. He's saying that unless the relationship with him is in the child, what kind of a little child is he? We're talking about a healthy, bright, godly father. Okay. Even the children. But the child is fine. Unwavering submission. Okay. It's beauty. He's a father. It's always and to his breath, and they can be routed out. But, the submission to the Father, there is a trust in the Father, okay? One of the attributes of a little child, when a game is called, that doesn't mean a trust by her. You know? It wouldn't work, okay? We're not talking about those who have, we're talking about the emotion. Well, the child doesn't have to learn to trust his father, trust his father's advice, trust his father to be there, to trust his father's wisdom, trust his father's And you willingly submit to that. And that's not the willingly.
We're willingly submit to that.
Because of us. And that's the example of all the teaching that I have. Relationship. God says that the eternal power is coming into us. And to know that I know. The issue is, what do we do with it? It's such a creation. We understood to what he was made, so that they are without speech. But even though they knew God, they did not honor him. They did not glorify him as Lord of gospel. They did not glorify him and honor him as God, or give thanks. They became evil in his presence. And their foolish heart was dark, professing to be wise. They became poor. We have universal. To be wise, they became fool and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man and of birds and four-footed animals and all. What is it when I have somebody say, well, how do I glorify God? What does that mean? I don't know. Well, does God say that he creates life? Okay. And we all know that. I mean, God writes the laws on our hearts. Does God say that? We'll go on and read in that Jesus said, I came to fulfill the law, right? You say, you're pretty self-righteous. You say, well, but I don't see, I've never killed anyone, right? I haven't murdered anyone, I haven't had sex with anyone before, I haven't done any bad things in it. Jesus clarified that. And made it real clear with this, the king of his kingdom, and his expectation is what? Okay. That's where he rules. That's where his authority, absolute authority, that he set up. That's where his blessings and prosperity come. That's where his promises are fulfilled. In our hearts. Not in this broken world that we live in, and that's where the safety is for a wise breath. The enemy's glory in the land. God says that he will give us peace. And the joy that is beyond understanding, outside of the circumstances that we live in, that will fill any office as your obedience and holiness is given. That's where, that's a fulfillment of it. So when we, God says, if you're wrongly angry at someone, then if you're just angry and bitter towards someone, that's murder. Murdered for you. Yeah. Okay. God says that if a man thinks sexually about another woman besides his wife, that's adultery. Okay. What does God say adultery is for you? Yeah. So how do we so when we understand God can say the devil made me do it, is that how God can do it? He has chosen not honor. He has chosen not for, and that's the root of the sin. The outward manifestation of that is all kinds of things, right? What happens? He says, God says that first I put the laws on your heart. I put the truth of who I am, my eternal power and divine nature in your heart. When you choose to disregard that, and turn broke, therefore God gave him over. And the lust of the heart to ensure that their bodies might be dishonored among them. For they exchanged the truth of God for law, and worshiped and served the creature rather than the creator, who is blessed forever, amen. For this reason, God gave them over to degrading passions. For the women exchanged the natural function for that which is unnatural. And in the same way also, men abandoned the natural function of the woman and burned in their desire toward one another. In this nature, it is easy to ask and receiving your own person. You cannot be the heir. This seems to project levels of degeneracy. So listen closely about the level of degeneracy. God says to Joseph, just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, I would say this for their city, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do those things that are not proper. Really bad things. Listen, being filled with all unrighteous, wicked, greed, malice, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice, or gossip, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents. That's a level of rebellion to God. Degeneracy upon the way to God. They're without understanding. They're untrustworthy. They're unloving. They're unmerciful. And although they know the ordinance of God, that those who practice those things are worthy of death, they not only do this, but give hearty approval to those who practice. Is there, does that apply here that there's a level of personal accountability in honoring God's God? We have a very misplaced, we like this concept that it's true. When you say this, saying it on the street, so I do that not true, I do. But I agree with the contemporary view of freedom is very misguided, very Americanized, very selfish. We are not free to do what we want. The Bible doesn't say anywhere that you're free to do what you want. When he talks about freedom, when we're set free, we are set free to worship and have a right relationship with the Most High God. That's the extent of our freedom. Or we are held hostage in the bondage of sin. God gives us a way to be free. Not free to do what we want. We are still under obligation to be obedient. Honor God. And to honor God isn't to just sing nice songs to Him, say nice things about Him. It's amazing the process of people to say that you don't know God. And you talk, you know, pretty baseline about giving God the thing. And I don't know what that means or what that looks like, right? You thought, oh, I would never do that. It's amazing, because even pagans go, oh, I wouldn't do that. But what do your feet do? What does your life do? What does your life do? What do you do with your life? When God says, a lying tongue I despise, when God says, disobedience to parents, is all wrong, wicked. When God says, do not honor, do not honor your mother and father, is disobedient. When God says, on and on, because there are still lots of things that God says that matter to Him, and that He actually commands us to do, and we're to be obedient. And when we disregard those, to do ourselves, we act like Satan. And you're not free to act like Satan. You're not free to be disobedient and disregard our will and do what I want to do. And then, because what happens out of that, you know what happens out of that? You see, you become fire. I'm free to do what I want, but I'm going to choose things up here, so that is not you dress it down, right? You dress it down, 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 you know, it's got to be tough, God, but I'm free to do it, I'm trying not to do bad things, I'm trying to do things that you want to honoring God is the case in being honored. Does it mean you've got honor in the case? So there's a personal, absolute responsibility to be obedient to God. So, where does the devil come from? Where does the concept of faith in the devil make you deal? Because there is very much Satan is a lying, wrong power. I want to go through see some things that I wrote down. Biblical, there's a couple of things. Name the case, things called, because they're very descriptive. What the purpose and words of faith are in the Bible, what the methods of faith. Because we need to be wise. We need to understand that even though our flesh, our own self, has the propensity to be rebellious to God, we don't need help to have the propensity to be rebellious. We have to realize that this is a war. That there is a war, and He will not only have an answer for this, but we will get help. You will be able to know that. Is that the truth? No. There is no truth. We are without excuse. God gave us the knowledge of who He is. He gave us the knowledge of what matters to Him. And whatever, however small it might need, or gift that might be. Let's just somehow pretend for something. And if any of us are ignorant, He gets out of his losing mind. We can't hide. Right? Let's just pretend that He, what does He have? God said, all men know, all men have the honor of God. And whatever small amount they understand in truth. Right? But instead, what does man do? I want to. I want to be God. I regard myself is having more value, is having more power, is having more authority in this world to you. That doesn't take a very big knowledge of God to come in. Now, all of us are really bad, right? Because all of us have been around Christianity, around the Bible, around even some of us, who have probably skewed in some of us. But, if you know what God calls you, you know that there that God says, you know the Ten Commandments. Other than we have memorized, we should do that. You'd be able to recite them. Why? Is it still relevant? Is it still the heart of our thoughts and how we feel? Now, if you get the Ten Commandments, do what you have. There's a lot of Jews who are very disciplined, right? What were they? He said, pardon me, I never knew you to do that. Well, you are not as pleased that I have. So, what's the difference? It's a flood of peace and mercy and grace of God that allows that right relationship in honoring to have it in the relationship with Him. But, honoring God will cause you what? Your peace. Honoring God will cause us to live our life in such a way. To give Him glory, to give Him praise, to give Him honor, to give Him worth. And if our lives do not live there, then self-righteousness is perfect. God says, you keep the laws on the outside. You're very good at it. But you do. You're not loving. You're not loving the way you want, all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your spirit. You're not loving the way you do. Love yourself. We just go through and ask him, listen, I went through and went through just the names of stations and the attributes and references that to the Bible gives, how he acts and what he does, and then it explains Satan. And I just think it's, you know, somewhat important to have this history because I think that we need to understand what our adversary is. See some names of Satan. Number one, Satan in the Old Testament. You know the Hebrew word for Satan? The word for Satan. That's the Hebrew word for Satan. And it means the adversary. In the New Testament, the Greek word is Satan. But it means the adversary of God and all things of God. The other primary word that God means is the devil. That's the word that's used received 34 times in the New Testament. You know what the word devil is also translated? Three times the same word. So that's diabolo. That's what the word is. Diabolo. And it's not a word in the Old Testament. Devil. But in a means, you know what it means? It means scandalous and false. When it describes the belief given the 34 times in the Testament, you know how it's translated three other times? And it's false. The word devil. Let me give you some names of Satan, because I believe that the Bible is pretty clear to describe his spiritual nature through the inspired word, giving him names, giving him things that are called. But to understand the fact, let me just go through them. We've done all of them today, and then I wrote down that going to describe the accuser of our brother. Dragon, enemy, evil, murderer, prince of this world, roaring lion, a ruler of the king of the air, the spirit who works in those who are disobedient. The spirit who works in those who are disobedient. Father of life, God of this age, liar, known God. The name given to Satan, serpent. Tempter is where we see in Matthew, where we are. That was the word that was used to describe it. As far as purpose and word, it's excellent. Some descriptions that are given in the Bible of the purpose and word of Jesus. His work is pretty focused. He intends to oppose God if he is just either taken out of verse that talk about the purpose of Satan. He intends to rule and believe. He intends to attend to his people. He intends to establish his own kingdom. He's good. He's an adversary. And it's an adversary that something in reading about and looking that there's a pretty strong statement as an unfortunate not ridicule and mock Satan. That's what I talk about that. And it says that Micah is hardly given in his own power. These are taken out of verses that describe the character and nature of Satan. The method of Satan is the method of Satan. Satan suggested that Jesus turn the stone to the loaf. I would suggest it was a pretty good and pretty suggestive. Jesus was started. 40 days done. Okay? 40 days fast. 40 days is the middle of it. It's only the something. You need to do 15. These people are down. Okay? So, is there anything wrong with trying to sell it to the bread on? It's kind of cool. Jesus is about multiplying loaves, right? Bigger than five. Right?
couple loaves and fed thousands of people with it. Okay, that's not multiplying loaves. It isn't wrong to do that. But it's in and of itself. Then you get a long game for the stones turning red. What did Jesus say to us? He says, the greater power I give you, this is greater miracle. He saved and enabled you to save that mountain. Yeah. Is that a bad thing? Does God not want us to do miracles? No. I believe that God wants to express power and authority and glory and miracles and things in our lives. Okay? I believe that he wants that to happen. I don't think it's a bad thing. God rejects it. He comes to us. What does Satan do? Satan needs something good like death and all. Satan oftentimes, physically, our level of moral degeneracy, our level of rebellion, Satan oppresses and says, but Satan, like Jesus, probably wasn't proud of it when he won. But Jesus was, you do something right, do a miracle, do a lot of miracles, do a miracle. This is a greater miracle. Save that woman who's dead, the little girl who's dead, rise up. Suffers and making bread out of rock, he's dead. He reminds us of life. God makes him know. So Satan is doing two good things oftentimes. What is it? What is very important? You need to know that God is doing. Jesus says, in my sense, in this case, Jesus says, man does not live by bread alone. Every word it will tempt us with
things that are good.
But see that in me? He's proof. It takes easy breath. Things who are sensual need and desire. Are they in and of themselves wrong? What was wrong with turning those loaves into bread? I mean, it had to be. Let's be real clear. There wasn't any people on it. In fact, I would probably suggest rising out somewhere in the wilderness, quite possibly after 40 days and 40 minutes of time, we didn't have the strength to get back to that. Yeah. Probably didn't have the nerve. Was it a wrong thing? No, God ended up miraculously ministering to him a little bit later. Long day. But a little bit later in the day, here, God miraculously ministered to him to angels. Angels came down and ministered to him instead of manna. Maybe it was manna. They said they're in the desert, miraculous. The miraculous Jesus. Who do you like that? No. The methods. Methods of Satan. Deceives, hinders, murders, refuses, afflicts. Satan. Perverts truth, prompts. Stocks, steals, thefts, these are all things that he says, what Satan does. The one. This is adversary that is an atonement. If you and ourselves, is heaven. If you and ourselves, we have no power to
never felt something.
So, am I just, oh well, I can't help it? Do we go back to the modern gospel and just face the same thing? How did it become a thing about myself? What do we do? Can I get help to face the struggle about myself? So, do we go to the point to one point for God that I said to you? And it's always and I said to see the triumph. One of the things that Satan implies both to Adam and he implies to you, you still need to have it. Just really need to be like that. You can be unfaithful. You are the Son of God. Now, I'm pretty sure by this time Satan had a pretty good idea that Jesus was the Son of God. Okay? He heard God said, if not heard second hand, but I'm pretty proud of this. This is my beloved Son, and then will be. Okay? So there would be questions if you're the Son of God. No. He's saying, I believe that you might be more understood. You have this authority. You don't need to have it be the same thing. Did you say, yeah, this is really good. This is really good to you. This is a pleasing to the eye. How do you feel? Adam, you said, oh well. It is good to you. It is good to you. It will taste good. It wasn't that it didn't taste good. The issue wasn't some magical ingredient in fruit that did not eat. The issue was that he means judge and judge. The issue was it wasn't the magic part of the fruit. The issue was he means God, God's ability, and he's ability. Not God's own. That's what Satan was getting to do. He knocked on your own ability. He was going to do. Obviously, God needs to go back to Satan. And does not live by brethren, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Now, you need to be really careful to not stand back and go, oh, yes, I'm not. See, that's kind of what it means, right? Yeah? Kind of, oh, yes, he did. Okay. He's going to die. Right. He's 40 days. This wasn't a statement he's making after 20 days. He goes, I can be bold with the statement. I don't believe it. I've got 20 more days before I start going back. If he was going to stay alive and fulfill the purpose that God had called him for, if he had to, he knew that he was there to be the sacrificial lamb. He's going to be. If he was fully man, by the being fully God. You fully man. So he was going to need to do. So where did some smart aleck remark? Chapter 1. He was loving. He's forced to express that. He's obedient to the voice of his Father. No matter what the circumstances, no matter that it looked right, no matter that he needed to be right, and it wasn't wrong, I don't believe that he turned some rocks into bread. I think there's anything wrong with that. That's essentially a miraculous intervention of God. But who is he listening? Who is he saying? He's depending on faith to listen. Who is he? Yeah. He's absolutely in his father. He's not going to listen. He's going to have his faith part. Yeah. He's going to have his faith. Yeah, this conversation is a pretty obvious. Who am I going to say? We just get to be made a point. So, of course, they speak to him. He says, true. He says, they listen to this is what I feel, and this is what seems right, so I'm going to go ahead and do it. Without listening to the voice of God. But realizing that the obedience, even though he lived
long as it and this is a long time. I think it's years it is some of the I don't know how the can go to I don't know how the transporting them. But I doubt if it was like a Disneyland ride. God, Satan says that God says that Satan took him to the high point on the temple. Well, I don't know how far away that was. He was in the wilderness on earth. That was a bit of a transport. And put him up on the temple. Probably. I'm sure he was trying to put him. It also says he took him to a high place. Understandable. But a place are not too understandable. I'm not sure where this mountain was. He said he chose them all to be his brother. So he took the gift, his freedom. And these were temptations that Jesus left to you that he did the fall. Primary thing, he's going to have it, is do not respond to what seems like that. We do not respond to what we feel. We do not have to be utterly. And we're accountable. And you, make clear, I want to make it clear, that the Bible is says that we have to keep them first. And this is a 53 American truth for life that we have to manifest justice. Not freedom is not. He's saying that we have a freedom of choice, freedom to choose, what I submit. Asking the holy God, we can stay among my God, or will I choose to remain under the authority of Satan? Honestly, in temptation, we need to be happy. That is our choice. And truth is that once we choose to submit to one or the other, we need to remain in a position of two free choice. If you become a slave of the Most High God, you choose. You slave out of the church, you say, give up. No longer I do, but Christ is living. I do crucify Christ, not take my death upon Christ. I do crucify Christ, no longer I do, but Christ is living. I do that death upon Christ. You are responsible and accountable for God. One of the tragedies of the country gospel is that's not that sin. Sometimes the major part of that. I learned to read Deuteronomy 6, 7, 8. I would improve that to be dead. It doesn't tell us how God is. We do encourage you all to be dead. And give that to prove you. It shares the heart of the man about what is expectation and what's the ramification of not honoring him all. There is a responsibility that you have, and there are ramifications. So we can't sit on the fact that the devil made you do it, but our fight is. I want to say the pathetic nature of contemporary Christianity is that all I do is wrestle with my flesh. We are not wrestling with our flesh. Our flesh is wrestling. Okay? We're not to be wrestling around in a pathetic cesspool and say, this is my struggle. That victory has been won. We need to be past that and wrestle in the spirit. Does that mean we won't sin? And that sin will not be I'm sure all of us have been routing out the flesh and the dying for ourselves. That is a perpetual state that we need to remain in. But the distinction of what faith implies and acceptance is you're held captive in that. You have no choice out of it. The truth of the gospel is you can set free from that. You no longer have to remain So it has to have everything to be responsible. What happens in God's way? Absolutely. What happens in God's way? This does not please me. What do we do? Oh well, God will maybe do it. I can't help it. I'm not accountable to that. What do you say, God, I'll save you? Do you accept me? I do not have to say that. If God wanted to live holy life, then that's all good. That sounds like some guy with a collar or some self-righteous religious. God called us and then he gives the means and the power to us. You have to realize that in that story, you will have opposition. It's not just a matter of listening to the voice of God. It's a matter of knowing the heart of God and knowing the voice of God. And being responsive to him. Father that wants to be, Father that wants, Father that longs to have a deep relationship. It's hard to know the difference between his voice and Satan's voice. If Satan's a person, Satan can ask you to accept the person. You should be very cautious. If you think that something is too much truth, he invites what he says. Commandments, Old Testament law, we all recognize that these two scriptures, you guys are big. What is it? Because you know what? We are called. We are called to obedience. We're given the ability to be the power of God. We're here, but it's the reason that it's important to go into this discussion and this debate is because we're going to turn our back. And Jesus here at the garden gives a very strong admonition, not recommendation, but man. Not any. So what's that? How are we going to deal with that? How are we going to deal with that? Well, we're not under the law. And most people do. Well, I don't have to do it. Not like Jesus did. I don't have to do this. It's just great. Not for that. Not over the past day. But I am just doing it. Really? That is not the great message. God has made a way for us to be isolated. You do that at home. In harmony, I'm going to ask you to
Allow the population to be time together, to be together. Thank you.